Hallelujah! To God be the glory. His mercies are new every morning, and you never know what's going to happen when you show up. Would you grab your swords this morning, please, and go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, yeah. God is good. In verse 5, would you read it with me? Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, God is always trying to bring something to us, isn't he? But the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the Lord is saying, listen, maintain a humble spirit, and you will receive. Which pride, when that pride comes in, it rejects. It actually causes people to reject what the things that God is doing. And God says, I'll reject you. In other words, I will hold back those things that I'm trying to get to you if pride is involved. In verse 8, it says, be sober, be what? Vigilant, and what else? Because what? Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Hello, everybody's going through it. Welcome to Go Through It Club. Verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while. For some of us, it feels like forever. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And that word, perfect. And that's one of the things God's trying to do, is trying to bring us to an area of perfection. And in this area of perfection, it's not about how perfect you are. It's how you know God sees you. Does everybody understand that? It's not how perfect you are. It's how you know God sees you. Because see, God sees you in perfection. Even the word says that the Father says, be perfect, for I am perfect. So the enemy's always trying to cause you to see differently than what God sees you. So everybody got it? And in this, there is a core of perfection. Everyone say a core of perfection. Go to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 7, Psalm 138, verse 7. Let's read this together. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Do you believe it? In verse 8, the Lord will what? Perfect that which concerns me. For your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. So we see here that he is bringing you through an area of perfecting us. You know, everything that we go through is an opportunity to grow and perfect. And there's a core of perfection that I want to talk about, and we'll get there in a second. Go to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. In verse 1, would you read it with me? I will sing of mercy and justice. To you, O Lord, I will sing praises. I will behave wisely in a what? Perfect way. So when you're behaving what we call a perfect way, Is there perfection being established? Yes. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a what? A perfect heart. All of these areas, the Bible says that who can enter his presence and in the tabernacle is he who has a pure heart and clean hands. That means that person is being perfected. In verse 3, he says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. Why? Because he knows that God is concerned about his perfection because he wants him to see how God sees him. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. Verse 4, a perverse heart shall depart from me, and I will not know what? Wickedness. Why? Because of that area of perfection. You know, you have to have a desire to want to be perfect. It doesn't mean that we can achieve perfection in the flesh. We can't. But there's an area where you begin to see what God sees you. And as you begin to see as God sees you, there's that area of perfection. Not because you're perfect, but because he is. So come on, you got this. So you're going to go through stuff because he's going to bring you through certain things to perfect you. That's why you're going to go through suffering. That's why, you know, listen, nobody in this planet that lives on this planet because of the darkness that's all around them is going to be perfect all the way through. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have trials. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Would you read it with me, please? And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the what? Equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body and for the edifying of itself in love. So understand that there is a training for perfection, isn't there? There is a training. It's, you know, so many times people keep hopping from one church to another that God is trying. Yes, and I understand that the Spirit can speak anywhere at any time. And many times he's speaking almost the same thing, but, you know, there's four gospels. But God puts us in a place to learn so that there is a specific training, so that once a certain training is accomplished, then you can go on to the next training. But in this, during a series of training, so many times the enemy moves people out of position and sends them to and they're misled to another location of some sort where that training isn't the same. It's a different area. It's a different view when you haven't gotten that one view yet. Has everybody got this? You know, so many times the enemy, you know, you got to remember the enemy always wants to push, but the Spirit leads. And God never interrupts himself. First rule, God doesn't interrupt himself. If he's got you in a place for a series of training, then you fight through it. You stay there until it is completed. And in that, you know, I've had to deal with that myself, and especially when I was first saved and so forth, although I didn't want to go anywhere else because I knew that God had me placed in a specific place. But then there were certain things that he had sent me to, and one time there was this teaching on the book of Revelation, and I went there, and it was just like one night during the week, but it wasn't interfering with anything in the fellowship I was going to. And when I went there, I realized that I didn't like what I was hearing. And the Lord said, stay here. And I was there with 10 other people from our own, from our fellowship. And all of them left but me. And I said, Lord, can I go? This isn't right. He says, no, I want you to stay here. And I stayed. And I learned. And I learned the deception that's being taught. And so finally, I said, can I go now? And he said, no, one more session. And I stayed that last session. And then I went to a Saturday prayer intercession meeting. And I saw things that what I learned there that were not right were happening in this prayer intercession. And the Lord said, now bring correction. That's why I kept you here, so that you would learn. I thought, wow, this is wild. It was wild. And it was about religiosity. And about how people were saying, you've got to have the Sabbath on a Saturday or you're not. You know, anyways. When he is the Lord of the Sabbath, every day is a Sabbath for me and you if you have a relationship with him. It's not a specific day. But in that, it was very powerful because it prepared me. It prepared me for what was coming. And so many times, we've got to stand strong in the seasons that God has placed us so that we can learn and not falter, because there's something he's trying to perfect in us. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. Go to Romans chapter 1. So he's trying to bring us to that place of a perfect man. How many of you know, all know that to be perfect, it takes practice? You know, it'd be nice if we were in the matrix and you just downloaded the information and you were, poof, it was done. But unfortunately, and I'm not saying that, you know, God can't do that. I would never limit Dad. But what I'm sharing with you, that there is a process that he brings us through, and that's why there's that suffering and so forth. And but there's a training involved, a training. Everybody say, I'm training for reigning. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 1, is everybody there? Let's start at verse 26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged a natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased heart, mind, to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of what? Envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So this is powerful. He's saying those who practice these type of things are deserving of death, and those who approve of them. So don't you think that you and I need to learn and to put things into practice so that we don't approve of the things that are ungodly that are practiced? Why? That's an area of perfection, isn't it? That's why the Bible says, come out from a brother that's practicing ungodly things. Depart from evil. All of these areas is so that you and I put into practice for perfection. Why? Because the enemy's trying to steal, kill, and destroy and access you so that you practice ungodliness. Go to Romans chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are, who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the what? Same thing. But we know that the judgment of God is according to what? Truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Hello. So in this, there's that area where you and I begin to practice righteousness and the things that please God. That's why he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because he's trying to bring us to a place of perfection. And there are two cores of perfection. In this core, there's two things of perfection. Go to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 15. Let's read that. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that is evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So he was struggling. He's saying, man, the things I want to do, I don't do. But he's talking about the ways and the works of the flesh. See, because you and I may want to do the right things, but we can't do it according to the power of flesh or free will power. We must do it according to the power of Christ. You can't do it in your own strength. And that's where many times people practice that. They cannot do it in their own strength. Let's go a little further. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I what? Myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So he says this, he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. In other words, the only way I can do this is through the anointing. The only way that this can be accomplished, that I practice the things that please God into the area of practicing things so that perfection can be established, is through the anointing. In my own abilities, I cannot do this. It's impossible. I have tried and I have failed. Well, the things I want to do, I cannot practice. But the things I don't want to do, those things, it's easy to practice. Until I'm in the anointing. Once I'm in the anointing, the things that please him, I practice. And the things that displease him, I do not practice. Because I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Where old things have passed away and all things have become new because of the anointing. Where God is perfecting me. Has everybody got it? Are you ready? So in this, we are practicing something. The first part of the core of the anointing, perfection, the core of perfection, is relationship. Because if there's no relationship, there's no anointing. If there's no relationship, there's no anointing. Now, in maintaining a relationship, there must be discipline. There must be what? Yeah, we're going back to that again. Ain't that something? So the only way to maintain an anointing is through what? Discipline. Relationship is through discipline, and you maintain the anointing through relationship. All right, I want to say that one more time, so we got this. So there's two things in the core of perfection. The first part is relationship. Relationship is maintained by discipline. Has everybody got this? And the anointing is maintained by relationship. Go to Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3. So the two parts of the core, what's the first part? Relationship. Oh, yeah. And Philippians chapter 3. Is everybody there? In verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for what? That's called the anointing. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have what? Suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the what? Fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So, fellowship of his sufferings. Hallelujah. So he was counted everything loss. He said, listen, for what I have learned in the exchange for the presence and the anointing of God Almighty, in the relationship with him, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. There's only one relationship that matters to me, and that is my relationship with him. Everything else is second. So everybody got it. You know, that's why many times marriages fall apart, because the relationship with the marriage is number one before the relationship with the Lord. And it happens all the time. Because if you're truly married to the Lord, in relationship with him, then your marriage with one another is according to your relationship with the Lord. And this is an area that must be what? Practiced. Remember, perfection doesn't come without practice. It doesn't come without trials. It doesn't come without sufferings. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. So we must practice discipline in maintaining that relationship which maintains the anointing. First John chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 5. And this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not what? Practice what? Practice what? Truth. The truth. Practice the truth. Practice the truth. That's the second part of the core. So you must practice the truth. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. But if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So the second part of the core is to practice truth. Now again, he is the truth, isn't he? So it's back to relationship, isn't it? But grab hold of this, that truth is now tools also. Are the gifts of the Spirit tools? How about truth? Yes. These are also tools. They're weapons also, aren't they? So in this, we must practice. So that's going to take consistency, isn't it? And here we go back again to discipline and consistency. So two things that must be practiced, relationship and truth, which is the core of perfection. Relationship and truth, the core of perfection. Go to 1 John chapter 3. In verse 3. And anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins, he has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. So in this, we know that the will of God is to practice righteousness, isn't it? Amen. But it goes back again to the core of perfection, which is two things. Relationship, to practice relationship, and to practice what? Truth. Go to Romans 8. So we must be disciplined and consistent. You know, when you hang around with God for a while, you begin to see as he sees. You begin to sense things. You begin to grieve when he grieves. You begin to weep when he weeps. There's time you just find yourself weeping and don't even know. Why am I weeping? And it's just something that comes to you and he shows you. You know, there must be a desire to rescue the lost as a believer. And in that, if there's not a desire to rescue the lost, see, so many times when you're not seeing through the eyes of God, the only thing you're seeing is through your own eyes. And when you're seeing through your own eyes, the only thing you're in is survival mode. So everything is about you. But when you're seeing through the eyes of God, now you have a heart that is compassionate and tender to rescue those who are in need, to rescue the lost. You know, my heart grieves even when somebody doesn't know what I know. Does everybody got that? I want them to know what I know. I want everybody to know what I know. And more than what I know. Because we want the heart of Christ. So we must be able to see what he sees and sense what he senses. That's why we express his heart and not our own. In Romans 8, did we go there yet? Okay, then we're there. Are you ready for this? Verse 14. 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in what? In us. That's that perfection, isn't it? So there is a core of perfection that is going to reveal the glory of God in me and you. Aren't you excited about that? Yeah. Praise God. Hebrews 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 22. Would you read it with me? But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly in the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of men, just men made what? Perfect! To just men made perfect. Why? Because the two areas of the core of perfection is what? Relationship and to practice truth. Ah. Relationship and to practice truth. to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. So he is perfecting you, just men made perfect through relationship and truth, according to discipline and consistency, the area where you practice relationship and you practice truth. 2 Thessalonians 3. The core of perfection. In verse 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and verse 11. Let's read it. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in what? Doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be what? Ashamed. In other words, don't grow weary while doing good, because you will receive that just reward of perfection. Don't grow weary. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up. Even when you blow it, shake the dust off, stand up, get back in position, and go back to the two major properties of the core of perfection, practicing your relationship and practicing truth, discipline, and consistency. And we close at Colossians chapter 4. You know, don't get stuck in your mistakes. You know, don't get stuck in your mistakes. Go forward. Just don't do them again. Colossians chapter 4. Is everybody there? We'll start at verse 10. Artachius, my fellow prisoner, greets you with Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you receive instruction. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God, who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Ephraim, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greet you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Harpalus. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, Nepheus, and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Ephraim, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul, remember my chains, and grace be with you. Amen. So in this he says, that you will become what? Stand what? Perfect and complete in all the will of God. In other words, in all the things that you practice. Stand perfect and complete. The core of perfection is relationship and truth. To practice both things with consistency and discipline. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We are honored and blessed that you are perfecting us. Let the core of perfection be established in us in true spirit and in power. Let it be a part of our life, of our complete being, that we are willing to practice our relationship with you and practice the truth that makes us free, being consistent and disciplined, bringing glory to your name in all that we do, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah.